be doing is seeking those things which are above and not those things which are below. We're to be seeking to be like Christ, Christians. Oh, I'm a Christian. Are you? Well, you know, if you are, then our lives will show that. We'll be will you be perfect? Anybody perfect in here? I just need to know. I just wanted to look around. We're not talking about being perfect. The Bible tells us to strive for perfection. He tells us to go after it as a goal and go and really try to do the right things. But I'm here to tell you, along the journey, how many of you have slipped and fallen a few times? I look around so that everybody says, you know. See, because we all make mistakes along our journey. But that's why Jesus came. You see, you have to understand that that's exactly why Jesus came. Because he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it alone. So he died and rose again. And then he sends us, what? The Holy Spirit, the Helper, to help us get through them things. Watch what this says in verse 2. It says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Let me repeat that. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You decided to say, Lord, I want to live for you. And when we decided to live for him, then we died to self. And that's why we do something called baptism. The waters of baptism is where we bury, say bury, the old man and the old man's nature. And we're raised. Yes, we raised. We rose up. We raised in newness of life, that we might be able to hear God's voice. And as many of us that are hard-headed or hard-hearing, but God gave us something called the Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear what he's saying. He wants to talk to us today and every day. And you know, sometimes I hear people, well, you know, I never hear God's voice. That's because we're not listening. And I have to tell you honestly, I've been involved in this life for quite a while now, and I have yet to actually have him come to me and say, Tyrone, out verbally loud. I never have heard it. Some people have. I have not. You must be more holier than me if you've heard it. I must not be worthy. But all I can tell you is I have heard his voice. And it speaks through his word. And he speaks through his body. And he speaks through the body of Christ. And he speaks through life in general. He speaks through all kind of situations. Have you heard God speak to you in the middle of something that you'd say, well, God, is that you? And all of a sudden, you know, you just are like, wow. He can speak to you if you have an ear to hear. How many of you know God's ways are higher than our ways? He uses things and people and stuff that you wouldn't even imagine he would. Did you ever read your scripture where he used a donkey to talk to the fella? If he can use a donkey, how many of you know he can use you? Say me. God can use anybody to speak his word, but you got to be willing. We got to be willing to hear. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Too many of us have not set our mind, or we're not willing to set our mind. We got to learn to set it, because sometimes in the process of life, we get distracted, we get disrupted, we get carried away with doing our own thing. And then we got to say, that's why I say, stop. Stop where you are and stop and evaluate what's going on in my life. How can I figure this out? Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, if you'll shut up and be still, I'll tell you. Have you ever heard him tell you that? Anybody? I just need to see. Anybody? If you shut up and be still. Just sometimes we got to shut up and be. But I decided a long time ago that I wanted to follow Jesus with all my heart, mind, and soul. Along the journey, sometimes we get a little hard-headed. Sometimes we get a little deaf-eared. But he knows how to get our attention. He knows how to talk to us. He knows just what we need when we do it. Many of us just want to go with the flow. You know, we don't want to ruffle feathers. We're just going to do what everybody else does. You know, your friends are doing this, your friends are doing that. But I don't want them to think I'm a holy roller. I don't want them to think I'm, ooh, one of those. I don't want them to think I'm holier than thou. I don't know about you, but I'm a child of the Most High God. And it's time for the body of Christ to arise up and let other people know. That's what we are to do as a Christian. We are to be a witness. We are to tell people about Jesus. We are to find out that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Put a smile on your face when you come to church. Not come to, well, I made it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I sure wish they'd hurry up. I got to go eat me some Popeye chicken. Just to let you know, I hadn't had Popeye chicken in a year. Hallelujah. Don't bring me none. Sometimes we got to decide to quit eating the chicken. Sometimes we got to decide to start following Jesus. Start realizing that it's time. Say, it's time. You know, to quit playing the games. I don't know about you, but I have to say it like this. How many of you know your time is short? Each click of the clock, you're one day closer. Our responsibility as Christians is to do the will of the Father. Well, I just don't know where my ministry is, brother. Well, follow Jesus and He'll tell you. Start reading the Word of God, and before you know it, you can't help. This is what I tell people. You can't help but tell somebody what Jesus is doing for you when we're following Him. If we're not following Jesus, and things aren't working out because we're not following, then we don't have a whole lot to say. Well, you know, I go to church. Well, so? Woo-hee! I'm here to tell you that it's not just about going and sitting in a pew. It's about being the church. It's about having the Holy Spirit inside of you so that when you're walking in Walmart or Kmart, they ain't no more Kmart, wherever, if you're walking in down the road or you're at work or you, and somebody knocks on your spiritual door and says, hey, I'm struggling. I got this problem. I see you read your Bible some. Can you tell me what the Bible says about this? Well, let's see. I don't know. If you come to church with me Sunday, maybe we could ask the preacher. No. You see, that's what we got to get. We got to get the Word. Say Word. Inside of us. Oh, I just touched my phone, so I figured I'd let you know. If you got your cell phones on, please turn them off and don't want to be disturbed. And you don't want, you know, I always say it like this. If God wants to get you, He can ring your phone. So don't worry about it. God's speaking today. Amen? How many of you know it's time for us to grow up, mature, and realize what's truly important? I hate to tell you this, but this is not that important. Too many of us are putting too much priority on this. Oh, my. Let me get off of that. Set your mind. Say amen. Set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. Huh? How many of you know that your God, shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Many of us just want to follow the crowd. But I'm here to tell you it's more than just about following the crowd. I want to tell you something. Number one, most important thing in our life should be my relationship with Jesus. Number one thing that should be in your mind is your relationship with Jesus Christ. If it's not number one in your life, that's why you got a lot of problems. Number one priority. Number one. Say number one. Priority in our life should be our relationship, our own personal relationship with Jesus. Do we commune with God? Do we walk with God? Do we talk with God? Do we hear His voice each and every day? I mean, I tell you, He'll talk to you every day if you're listening, if you're looking, if you're seeking. He's going to speak to your heart. And you go, well, it's called developing a hearing ear. We got to learn how to develop. Say develop. A hearing ear. If you're not hearing God's voice, it's because we have not developed an ear to hear what He's saying. I'm saved and I want to act like I'm saved. Amen. I'm saved. And sometimes we're saved. I'm saved, but we don't act like it. I'm here to tell you, we need, say I need, to act like it. Act like you're saved. Don't be proud to be a man. Everybody's proud. They're coming out the closets and they're doing all of their stuff. And you might as well come out your closet too and be a proud Christian. Let people know that you love Jesus. He is your Lord and Savior. You're not going to shrink back, but I'm going to start stepping forward and say, you know what? I love Jesus. Well, you shouldn't say that in public, brother. It's not politically correct. Nothing's politically correct, so I'm going to say it anyway. Who cares what they think? Do you care what Jesus thinks? witness, testimony. Find out who God is in your life. Watch this. Paul says, act like you have sense. Philippians, let me read the scripture instead of me interpreting. Philippians 2 and 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always, say always, obeyed. And Paul's talking to the church here, and he's telling them, he says, like you've always obeyed when I was present. Sometimes we act differently on Sunday morning when we're in church. Hallelujah, brother, it's so good to see you. Then on Wednesday morning, or even Sunday evening when we go to the ball game or to the whatever. All of a sudden, we become a different person. We just stepped out of our Christianity. Have I ever told you about when I was a young man, I told Jesus he had to stay here? Yeah. You step out of your Jesus. When I'd leave home, my mom would say, who are you taking with you? I'd say, oh, Lord. Yeah, him too. Jesus! You got to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. I'd step out the house and this is what I'd tell Jesus. I'd say, Jesus, you need to stay here because you ain't going to like it where I'm going. And too many times we do that today. We tell Jesus, stay here. You may not be actually saying it with your words like I did, but you're doing it with your actions. Just act like he ain't even there. Hallelujah. I'm going to do what I want. We do what we want. Uh-oh. I'm here to tell you it's time for us to quit acting like he's not there with you. Do you know he's with you wherever you go? The word says it like this. If you make your bed in hell, I'm with you. That's what he says. Uh-oh. Some of us have made our bed in hell. And he's right there with you. And that's why you can't enjoy yourself anymore. You think you're just struggling, but I'm here to tell you, you won't enjoy sin. You won't enjoy it because now you got this little conscience. You got this little Holy Spirit. And he keeps saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. How many of you know he says you should not be doing that? And you say, well, just this one more time, God. Oh, just step away from that. Watch this. But now much more in my absence, work out. I love the way this Paul tells him here. He says, work out your own salvation. You see, and that's what it's talking about. You see, sometimes we think, oh, I hate to do it like this, but I'm going to do it. You know, sometimes we think we can just get that little anointing. Get that little, oh, I can't believe he did that. Sometimes we're looking for that little special anointing. Oh, pray for me, brother, on Sunday morning. But what happens next Friday night or next Thursday or whenever night you decide to just say, Jesus, stay here. And then we wonder why we're miserable and why we're going through these problems and situations because we told Jesus, we don't want you with us. Stay here, Lord. But wait, I'm going to come back Sunday morning, Lord. I'm going to let you know how much I love you. And I'm going to tell everybody in the church, Jesus is good all the time. What? You see what I'm saying? God's getting our attention. He's trying to wake us up. And he's telling us, come on. Come on, watch this. For it is good, For it is God who works in you. Say me. Do you know it's God who's working inside of you? The Holy Spirit. He's working inside of you. Both to will and to do. To will and to do. The wanta and then the doa. You got to wanta. Sometimes we don't wanta. We got to learn to want to the Holy Spirit. We got to want to do what's right. If we don't want to, we won't. We'll just do what we think is right. And the Word says there's a way that seems right to a man, and in the end it leads to death. And you might not be dead physically. Or sometimes you might be. But a lot of us are dead spiritually. Just talked to Murray this morning. He said one of his buddies he knew for 40 years died. How's that? Heart attack? Pneumonia? Boom, boom, gone. Here today, gone tomorrow. Life is but a what? Vapor. You're here today and gone tomorrow. You don't have a clue when your number's up. I mean, you know, sometimes we don't realize that somebody along the way is going to say, bingo, it's my turn. Are you ready? Are you ready for when your number's up? Are you ready? To will and to do for His good pleasure. I want to be a better person. I love it when I hear people say that. I just want to be a better person. Well, that's good, but it takes a journey. It takes a day to start, and it starts, and then we got to walk in it each and every day. Well, I love it this after they did. You hear this, well, they were a good person. You know what? That ain't going to get it. According to the Bible, according to the Word of God, that's not going to get it. You can be as good as you want to be, but if you don't have a Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, number one, say number one, it ain't going to get it. We got too many people trying to rewrite their own Bible, say, well, you know how it's been interpreted 100 different times. And of course, Jesus is still Lord of all. He either is who He said He is, which is our Savior, or He's a lunatic. What? I mean, you know, He's not just a good guy. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. We got to learn what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6 and 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what should you eat and what should you drink and what should you wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Say, my heavenly Father. Do you know He knows exactly what you need? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I get a little joy when I think about that. He knows exactly what I need. How many of you know He knows what you need? Jesus. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, but, I love it, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all. Wait a minute. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His what? And His righteousness, okay, we got to go start doing things right. We got to seek after His righteousness. We got to do it His way, not our way. Say His way.
His way.
Not our way. His way is higher than our way. Oh my. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow for the kingdom of God. Search for what? But first, seek. Say seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things. You know what? Sometimes this is where we get the horse before the cart, right? We get caught up. We're doing all of these things and we want to achieve and do stuff. And we want to, I got this and I got that. How many of you know you have nothing unless the Lord gives it to you? Did you ever hear Pilate when he said, don't you know I have the authority to kill you to Jesus? And he goes, you have no authority at all unless my Father has given it to you. He's given it to us. There's not, the Word says that not one thing exists. And thus He brought it to be. He created all things. Say all things. I mean, this glass, this your phone, He created your mind. I was speaking to somebody the other day and they were talking about, man, it's scary these days. I think it was in the Sunday school class. They were saying, you know, they're creating robots, you know, that's got that, which is AI, artificial intelligence. They got all kinds of stuff going on. How many of you know God's in control? No matter what they create, they can't create a new person. You know what? This is a little joke I heard a long time ago. I'll tell it to you real quick. Guy said, we're going to create a man. So we got all their stuff together and God said, wait just a minute. You got to get your own stuff. That's all mine. You got to create it. He created it. He said, let there be, and there was. Hallelujah. Okay, that's over. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, but tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day and its troubles. How many of you got a few troubles today? Don't worry about tomorrow's troubles because there's enough tomorrow. How many of you know if you wake up tomorrow morning, you're still going to have some things that's troubling you? You know what's so cool about the Word? It tells us not to worry about these things because you can't change them. God can change. Oh, you can change your reactions to it. You can change how you accept it. You can change your mindset by setting your mind on things above and not on things below. No matter what you're going through. Whew. Watch this. This is going to hurt some folks. Listen, you're going to die. Sooner or later, you're going to die. We all going to die. Your friends, your family members, somebody, everybody you know is going to die. Oh, what are you going to do about that? I can't do nothing about it. But God, I can start worrying about, I can start planning for my life, my everlasting life, my forever life. Say forever. How many of you know you're going to live forever if you gave your life to Christ? Oh, it comes to your last breath here will be your first breath there. Hallelujah. You'll step out of the natural and right into the supernatural. Hallelujah. I don't know if that gets you excited, but it does me. I'm looking for the perfect body finally. With hair. Hallelujah. Number one, my relationship with Jesus. Number two, listen to this. My relationship with my spouse. Number two, my relationship with my spouse. I've got to learn that God has given me a spouse. He has given her to me. And I'm so glad He did. I was talking to Adam, I think it was, this week. And I said, I'm not good on my own. How many of you know you're not good on your own? In case you didn't know that, let me just read it to you. Watch this. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God said, it is not good. Say it's not good. For man to be alone. It is not good that man should be alone, but I will make him a helper compatible for him. Hallelujah! If you want a special person in your life, then you're going to have to treat that person specially. What? Did you hear what I just said? If you want a special, say special, a special person in your life, then you're going to have to treat that person specially. Don't treat them like, well, that's the old lady. That's the wife, grandma. You see how we can easily allow ourselves to start disrespecting the second most important thing in our life, relationship with Jesus Christ. Number one, our spouse. Number two, if you're single and you haven't married, I'll get to you in just a minute. He who finds a wife, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, findeth a good thing. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, for those of you that are not married, I'll just tell you like this. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to lose her. If you're loose from a wife, don't seek the wife. Now, we'll just say spouse there. How many of you know that if you're walking in rhythm with God, come here, Carol. If you're walking in rhythm with God and God wants to give you a spouse, that's what's going to happen. Did you see that? It's just going to happen. It's just, you don't have to go run after it. You don't have to impress anybody. You don't have to. You know, what's a shame is a lot of times we want to impress somebody that we're going out with that we're not acting like ourselves. How many of you know Carol knew who I was before she married me? She got the whole package. That's what I told Adam. I told my son-in-law the same thing when he married Tabitha. Ask him when he first, before they were going. I said, "Listen, we went at the wedding. We was at the we're at the house up there, the Griffins' big house." Anyway, I told Adam. I said, "Son, I said, listen here. Let me make this very clear. You married my daughter. You got the whole package. Don't come back to me. It's yours." I love my daughter. I'll do anything for him and her. But it's her, his wife now. You understand what I'm saying? He's got it. That's right. That's right. Don't come back to me. Anyway, you lose from a wife. Don't seek it. If you don't seek one. Don't allow finding that special person in your life become your all in all. It's number two, not number one. Your number one is Jesus. Number two will be your spouse. And allow God to bring that person in line with you and for you. Amen? Because if you try to make something happen, how many of you know you're going to be disappointed? You're going to be frustrated? You're going to not have the right... I'll just leave that alone because some of us already know exactly. You went through those emotions and a few ups and downs and you crossed the bridge and you got to the other side. I'll just leave it all alone now. You know what I'm saying. Number three, our family should be number three. Now, I'm going to back up just a second because your family shouldn't become before your spouse. What? That's right. Your family shouldn't become before your spouse nor your God. Jesus is number one, your spouse number two, your family number three. That's why a lot of folks are struggling these days because I had a great mom. And sometimes she took up for me over my dad. And I'm here to tell you that I liked it because I was the kid. But I also watch kids manipulate their parents and bring destruction and discord and problems in a marriage because one spouse said, this is my child. But in 15, 16, 17 years later, that child's gone. They got their own thing going. And where are you? All alone. Because you didn't consider your spouse too important. You want a special person in your life? Treat them special. You want a queen? You want a queen? Or you want second best? I say it like this all the time. My wife treats me like a king. She does. I mean, she just treats me so good. I feel sorry for the rest of y'all. All I got to tell you is what are you doing to be treated like a king? If you think you're going to stand up and demand it, it ain't going to happen. Carol always told me this a long time ago. She goes, I'm going to get you a glass of tea because I want to. Not because you asked me to. See, if you say, Lord, woman, get me a glass of tea. It ain't coming. You got to use wisdom. I see guys all the time acting like they're the big man of the house until they get home. Then they're on their knees crying, please, I'm so sorry. Your family, number three. Watch what the scripture says. 1 Timothy 5 and 8 says it like this. But if anyone does not provide for his own, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially those under his own household, he has denied his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. If you're not taking care of your family while they're in your household and you're responsible for them, then we are not doing good. We are worse than the unbeliever. We are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Number three, though, not number two. Number three, say number three. Number three is your family. I've seen women and men treat their brother, their sister, their aunt, uncle, mother and father even, better than their spouse. Uh-oh. You're right. That's not right. But mom used to do it this way. So, whoopee! Man, I'm here to tell you, don't allow your family to disrupt your relationship with your spouse, nor your relationship with Jesus. Number one, Jesus. Number two, spouse. Number three, family. I've seen people that just mess up. I'm here to tell you, you're living in a danger zone. Say danger zone. There should be little beep, beep, boo, woo. The minute you step off into that stuff, you should have little bells and whistles going off saying, don't do it. You're fixing to blow it. How many of you ever heard the bells and whistles and you did it anyway? Don't raise your hand, okay? You knew you was going to get in trouble. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, watch this. For those of us that have avoided those bells and whistles, you notice I said us. Those of us who have avoided them, we should learn. Anyway, but watch this. 2 Timothy 2, it says it like this. But avoid, say avoid. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. How many of you know we can be ignorant sometimes? Don't raise your hand. Knowing that they generate strife. I've seen people create their own strife in their home because of their ignorance and not willing to shut up and listen to God or each other. Sometimes we just need to shut up and listen and hear what's really being said. How many of you know that we can stir up our own strife? We can generate our own strife sometimes. And the servant of the Lord, watch this, and a servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? Anybody here a servant of the Lord? Just need to know. Okay, watch this. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel. Uh-oh. Must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. To be gentle to all. That means consider how you would like to be spoken to. Learn how to speak without getting irate, without getting too verbal. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to communicate. Learn how. Have you ever had a boss belittle you? Have you ever had a boss or somebody belittle you while you're talking to them and you just get angry. I'm here to tell you, don't be like them. Don't do the things we have learned that we shouldn't do. Don't treat other people the way you don't want to be treated. How many of you know that that's what it's all about? Learn how to be gentle. And I mean, you know what? I'm going to tell you, sometimes we all mess up, right? Sometimes we all do lose it, right? But we need to learn how to be humble and repent and say, guess what? It's my fault. I'm sorry. I messed up again. I've made another mistake. Don't allow pride to come in and destroy your home, your family. How many of you know the devil's at work? And it's time for us to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of us to give us wisdom and not just follow after that. Well, everybody does it like this. No, they don't. Jesus don't. Jesus wants us to learn how to communicate the love and mercy and compassion. Number four, work. What? Number four is your job. Working. If you don't supply, if you don't go to work, you can't work. The Bible says it like this. Watch this. Mm-mm. Well, wait a minute. Let me go down. Work is very important. It's to keep it in perspective. We got to keep our lives. You know what? When things start going wrong and we're getting mad at our bosses, like I just said, and walking out, watch what the Word says. 1 Peter 2. Servants must be submissive to their masters. Now, according to back then, that was a lot of their employees. The servants were not being submissive to their bosses, to their masters. What? With all fear, not only to be good and gentle, but also to the harsh. How many times people are harsh with you? But we got to do what? We got to be submissive. We got to learn how to listen. We got to what? Sometimes we can be harsh. Sometimes we have been treated harshly. But it's important for us to learn how to hear and not just go off on people. For this is commendable, says the Lord. Huh? For this is commendable if because for conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering, and wrongfully. How many of you have been treated wrongfully in your life? How many of you have been overlooked? How many of you know that sometimes you feel like you deserve a little? This is amazing. Watch this. I've seen this happen numerous times that people go to work and they're not being treated the way they think they should be treated, or they're not being paid what they think they should be being paid. So what do? I start stealing little things from work and bringing home. Well, I deserve this. They don't pay me enough anyway. I'm going to bring these pencils home. I'm going to bring this home with me because you know what? I deserve it. How many of you know people got fired for stealing? Don't get caught up in all that what you think you deserve, because what you deserved is what you agreed to, a paycheck for that amount of work. You see, when you got hired, you didn't go there and say, I deserve more than that. You may be thinking it, but you hired on at that price. This is what I used to tell people. You want more income? Work for it. Work for it. You want more income? You're not on a fixed income, even if you're working. I'm going to have to tell you point blank, straight out. There was many days that I went to work before I went to work. I got up earlier and I went and did work, and then I went to work. And then at lunchtime, I went and did some more work. And then after work, I went and did some more work because my job wasn't paying me enough to pay for all of my three children having their needs met. Your job is important. You are a provider. You are the provider. Don't get caught up into the lie of the enemy. How many of you know God is good? All the time. You just got to learn to focus. Realize that your job is important. It needs to be. Number five, I'm going to get to in just a minute, but yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and go. Watch this. Let me just read this. All right. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. I'm going to go ahead and read this. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your job is, do it with all your might because God is watching. You're supposed to be doing everything as unto the Lord. No matter what you're doing, you're supposed to be doing it for the Lord. For there is no work or devices of known or wisdom in the grave where we're all going. We're all going to die. And what we're doing is important. So pay attention. Now, what I wanted to say about number five is this. Watch this. Here it comes. Your ministry. What? Your ministry. Listen, number five should be your ministry. Sometimes people put ministry before their family. Sometimes they put ministry before their spouse. Sometimes they put ministry before their job. Well, if they don't like the way I'm doing this, God's going to get me another job. Well, yeah, yeah. But I'm here to tell you, ministry should come after that. Now, listen very carefully what I said. Ministry. I didn't say your relationship with Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is what? Number one. Your ministry, though, should come after your spouse, your family, and your job. I watched people lose their family because of ministry. They put ministry way up on their pedestal, and they lost their family. And then they got mad at God, and then they quit ministry anyway. What? They got mad at their job because they put their job before their ministry before the job. And then they got mad. Well, I go, well, they don't love Jesus at that job. No, you don't. Because you have put your ministry, not Jesus. Your personal relationship with Jesus is number one. But sometimes we think ministry is more important than our spouse, our family, our job. I'm here to tell you, that's why a lot of people struggle. That's why a lot of people, you see pastors losing their families and you're thinking, what's going on with that? You see elders and deacons and people in the church and they're figuring out they're losing their family and they're thinking, but Lord, look what I did for you. And he said, wait a minute, you didn't do that for me. You did it for you. Because if you were doing it for me, it would have been done right. You see, sometimes we think, I'm right. I'm right. I'm ministering for Jesus. Submit, woman. How many of you know the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Learn, and then right after that says, submit to one another. Oh. See, sometimes people just read some scripture. We got to learn to read it. Read it all. Read it in context. Find out what it says. Don't put your ministry before your family, if you're your spouse. Second Timothy. Bob, stop it. But you, 2 Timothy 4 and 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. Now, you see, what I'm telling you here is don't get carried away and think that, well, I don't have to do anything. No, the Bible tells us to do. We are to do it, but in order. Say order. You know, the word says do all things, let all things be done, but it also says let it be done decently and in order. And I don't mean to be, I'm not talking about any churches that you know of, I think. But that's why you don't jump pews and holler and scream and decently in order. We believe in worshiping God in truth and in spirit. And I always tell somebody, if God told you to jump over the pew, then go ahead. But if he didn't do it and you just want to flagrantly flail out your body to let everybody say, look at me, I am holy. No, you're not. I've yet to, well, let me just stay away from the workings of the Holy Spirit. Because God does do a lot of things. Amen? Aren't you glad? Luke chapter 16 and 10. He who is faithful, watch this. He who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in much, your ministry. And when, who is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, which is money, then who will commit to you which is truly riches? God's trusting you. He's making you a wise steward of what you put in charge of. I don't have any money. I can't eat this week. How many of you know the word says, I have yet to see the righteous forsaken? How many of you know that when you're following Jesus, you don't miss any meals? If you do, come see me. I'll give you a hamburger. Won't no chicken, but I'll give you a hamburger. Therefore, be faithful. For who commits to you? Watch what it says right here. Listen. He who committed to you. Who will commit to you? This is God talking, okay? And he's saying, who's going to commit to you the real riches? How many of you know what the real riches is? It's not money. And it's not your ministry. But what it is the Word of God. And God wants to entrust you. He wants to, if you are faithful, which in the little things, he's going to give you the bigger things. How many of you know it's time for us to start learning to be faithful in the little things? Oh, just keep on doing, just keep on doing, just keep on being faithful. Yeah, don't worry about your reward, because where you should be thinking about is your rewards being built in heaven. And if you build them with gold, silver, and precious stone, how many of you know the wood, hay, and stubble is going to be burnt up? And some of us are just worried about that wood, hay, and stubble, and it's burning it up. And then we're not satisfied because we're not building with the right stuff. We're using this earthly stuff. And if you have not been, watch what verse 12 says. And if you have not been faithful in which is another man's, who will give you what is your own? I've watched so many people walk in church and not be faithful underneath that pastor or underneath that ministry. And then they decide, I want to be a teacher. I want to be a preacher. And then they go out and they try it on their own. But guess what? They're not successful because they have not been faithful, which is another man's. You see, I'll have to tell you point blank. I served under two mighty men of God right here on this platform. And I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, you tell them and I'll do it. And I was faithful all the way. Guess what? Guess who became pastor of Word of Faith Christian Fellowship? Hallelujah. And I believe without a doubt, you cannot convince me. It's because I was faithful, which is another man's. Then I was given my own. Hallelujah. Now I'm here to tell you, God's going to use you if you're faithful, which is another man's. If you're not, guess what? You can preach to the cow. I know pastors that are fumbling the Word of God right now, and they're running around trying to figure it out. And they say, oh, if I just... Because they have not been faithful, which is another man's. Whew, I might hurt some feelings here. But I'm going to say this. I believe without a doubt, if Jimmy Swaggart would have repented and followed the rulers that he had, he would have a much better ministry than he's ever going to would have had. But because he decided not to follow the rules, he decided to say, I don't have to follow that. I don't have to repent. You can't tell me what to do because I serve the same God you serve. You're right. You do. But I'm here to tell you, I've watched people's lives throughout the years. Have you watched people's lives? And it's so sad to watch somebody that was so anointed, so filled with God's Spirit, to fall and then not do it right, to come back. God's a God of the second chance. Yes, He is. But I'm here to tell you, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but leads to death. I'm just here to tell you, follow Jesus. Follow it. Be to do things right. There's a way that's right. Let's follow it. It's Jesus' way. Watch this, Luke. Let me turn the page. Let me just move on. Because I'm out of time. Don't get caught up when it's your ministry into following the world. Be sensitive. Stay sensitive. Be sensitive to your calling. Be sensitive to your calling. But follow God. Don't let other people distract you. I've watched so many people get distracted by other people because they have allowed too many other people to become important. They set up other people in their life to say, well, this person, they must be holier than thou, holier than me, because I'm not this. And they impressed and they follow after that person. And before you know it, they're both fumbling. They're both out there wobbling around trying to figure out what happened. Why did this happen? It's because we are setting up people to fail. When you put a person on a pedestal, how many of you know, they're going to let you down. Don't allow yourself to put other people in a place that the Holy Spirit's supposed to be. Don't allow yourself to put other people in a position of authority over you that have never been in a position of authority. He says to be careful who you allow to lay hands on you. You know the Word tells us that? Be careful. Test the Spirit. Oh, I've been praying and I haven't heard anything. But I haven't heard anything, so I'll go do this until I hear anything. No. Wait. Say wait. Wait on God and wait for confirmation. Don't go run off. I like to call it this. Half-cocked. You know what half-cocked means? If you got a pistol and you take it out, and if you cock it halfway, then you can rotate the cylinder, but it won't shoot. And too many of us are half-cocked. You got to cock it all the way if you're going to use it. Don't go off half-cocked. Realize how to use the Holy Spirit. How to hear what's going on in your life. God wants to bless you. Test the Spirit and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I can be, led astray. Have you ever been led astray? Don't raise your hand. You can be distracted. You can be misled. You can be deceived. You can be, do you know the devil went and tested Jesus himself? You know, are you really the Son of God? How many of you know you are a child of Christ? You are a child of God. He blessed you. He pulled you up out of the miry clay. He loves you so much. And He wants to encourage you to just don't worry about trying to do your own thing, but follow God's call. Be sensitive and do what He's called you. How many of you know if He's called me to do something, I'm not going to tell Murray, you got to do it the way I do it. What? Well, you know, I went here and you wasn't there. You should have been there with me. I love Jesus and you wasn't there, so you must not love Jesus. What? What? Do you realize that we're all called to be different? There's different manifestations of the giftings. We're all called to do what He called us to do. Don't worry about whether or not somebody else is following you. That's not your job. You do what you're called to do. We have diversity of gifts, the Word tells us. Just a suggestion. Don't let your ministry become before 1, 2, 3, or 4. Don't allow your ministry to become before 1, 2, 3, or 4. Allow yourself to have something called a balanced life. Because when we learn to balance Jesus, we balance our life. You can't be so spiritual that you're no earthly good. Yeah, I mean, you've heard that statement before, right? You got to learn that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. But we still have to be in this world. If you're so spiritual that you think you don't have to eat or drink anything, you'll die. It's like I love it when I've heard this before. I don't understand this principle, but maybe you have. I've never had a kid, I never had a kid do this. If you don't give me that, I'm going to hold my breath. Yeah, but I've seen this happen. I hold my breath and I go right ahead. Yeah. Go right ahead. You really going to hurt me? When you wake up, I'm going to say, how did that work out for you? A lot of times people are running around as Christians holding their breath. Let it go. Let it go. Why are you holding your breath? Why are you trying to make something happen? That's not your call. Allow God to work. How many times you got to be told in your life, let it go. Don't get caught up in hanging on to stuff that you don't have control of. Learn to have a balanced diet, your spiritual life, your physical life, your natural life. Learn to enjoy life. There's a lot of people that's so spiritual that they're not enjoying life. The Bible says it's the joy of the Lord that you're stressed. Learn to put a smile on your face when you come to church. I'm actually glad to be here. Hallelujah. Sometimes people just stay up all Saturday night or do something on Friday. Woo! They walk in Sunday morning like they got to go to work on Monday. I used to get a kick out of that. I loved it. People would come in and work on Monday and they're like, oh, hey, woo. It was rough from the weekend. Woo! I had a, woo! We put one on Friday night. Woo! It lasted all weekend and I was, woo! And they tried to, everybody bragging on how bad of a weekend they had. I walked in and said, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-doo. My God supplied all my needs today.
And then I'm like, "What is your problem?" Well, I had a great weekend. It was a blast.
Okay. It's not my definition of a blast. How many of you learned? Some of us are stupid. No, don't raise it. People think that they got to be so bad to be good. Woo, let me tell you how, well, we had a great weekend. Hallelujah. I can't remember none of it, but we had a great weekend. I remember everything since I was 22 years old. God is good. I found out that there's a better way. There's a much better way. I learned that I didn't want to be. I hate to keep using this word, but I'm going to do it. I learned that there's a better way than being stupid. Do not marvel at this. Watch this. John chapter 5. Because he is the Son of Man, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, say evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. What are you building? What are you building? Do you realize that we are accountable for our actions? Do you realize that we are reaping the things we have sowed? Are you forgiven? Absolutely. No matter, I I love the Lord. I ask for forgiveness all the time. But every time I overeat, it's evident. How many of y'all got some evidence? Don't raise your hand. I used to have a friend of mine. He was 500 pounds. Better, I think. Better. And he said, "I don't eat that much." I'm like, "You a liar." There ain't no way you're going to be that big. I am never going to lie to you. I overeat. How many of you overeat? Don't raise your hand. Just like that. There's some things we just can't hide. Glands. I got bad glands. Which of those other things? Big bones. Yeah, I'm really big boned. Wow. Yeah, you can call it all kind of things, but what it is, well, you know. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order." My message to you this morning is set your house in order. This is what he told the king here. "For you shall die and not live." I'm here to tell you, we're all going to die. But this king decided to start praying. And if you go back and read it, he got 15 more years. How many of you want another 15? Some of us said, "No, I'm ready to go now." Okay. But he prayed, and I'm here to tell you the reason why he prayed is because he was not in order. And it's time for us, some of us, to set our house in order. God's calling you. He's calling you. And he's saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Learn to rejoice and be glad in it. Learn to live a balanced life. Learn to hear his voice." Do you know he's talking to you today? Say amen. Stand on your feet. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we ask you to pour out your spirit this morning afresh, anew. We ask you to strengthen the body of Christ. Lord, let us get our priorities in line. Let us get our priorities straight. Lord, let us not be running around like that hamster in a wheel going boogity, 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 just making noise. But Father, we just ask you to give us wisdom on how to run with direction in our life. We ask you to give us counsel, O God, that we might hear your voice and know which way you called us to do. Know what you called us to do. Father, we glorify your name today. We repent, O God, for where we've fallen short. Lord, I love what David said in the Psalms. "Examine me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me." And I'm going to cry out to you right now, Lord, and say, if there's any wicked way in me, please, Lord, reveal it to me, O God, that I might change it before other people judge me. Before other people look at me, Lord. Father, we ask you to pour out your spirit afresh and new right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great day. Hope to see you next week. You got kids and children's church. Go get